Welcome to Ephesus Baptist Church, God's host that he's provided for us to come and to worship and to praise him. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen. We're going to continue our study today of the book of Daniel. In fact, I hope to get through the whole book, but we may not do that until after Easter because I have four sermons that I'd like to preach from Isaiah leading up to Easter, but we'll see. But if you recall, 2 weeks ago, we reviewed the first chapter of the book of Daniel and learned that we were dealing with a person of integrity. Daniel, in a most stressful time, continued true to his beliefs and followed the teachings of God. He persevered in the face of adversity, and the result was he remained faithful to his God and remained in service to the king. Well, today we shall look at the second chapter of Daniel, and that has the account of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And we shall also look further at this young man called Daniel, who by God's power saved others and gave testimony to Almighty God. As I said, our text this morning will be Daniel chapter 2, and we shall review it in sections as I proceed with the message, and may God add his blessing to the reading, hearing, and studying of his word. Our first section that I'd like for us to review is Daniel chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. Daniel chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. In the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His mind was troubled and he could not sleep. So the king summoned the magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers to tell him what he had dreamed. When they came in and stood before the king, he said to them, "I have had a dream that troubles me, and I want to know what it means." Then the astrologers answered the king in Aramaic, "O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will interpret it." The king replied to the astrologers, "This is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me what my dream was and interpret it, I will have you cut into pieces and your houses turned into piles of rubble. But if you tell me the dream and explain it, you will receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. So tell me the dream and interpret it for me." Once more they replied, "Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will interpret it." Then the king answered, "I am certain that you are trying to gain time because you realize that this is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me the dream, there is just one penalty for you. You have conspired to tell me misleading and wicked things, hoping the situation will change. So then, tell me the dream, and I will know that you can interpret it for me." The astrologers answered the king, "There is not a man on earth who can do what the king asked. No king, however great and mighty, has ever asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or astrologer. What the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they do not live among men." This made the king so angry and furious that he ordered the execution of all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree was issued to put the wise men to death, and men were sent out to look for Daniel and his friend to put them to death. The king ordered that they be cut into pieces and their houses turned into piles of rubble. Daniel finds himself once again in a predicament. We talked about that 2 weeks ago, but here he is now, one of the king's wise men, serving with integrity, faithful to the Lord, and faithful to King Nebuchadnezzar, yet when he obeys and does what he's supposed to, difficulty comes to Daniel, just as difficulty comes to us today. And some of us here this morning may be under the misconception that when we follow Jesus, when we do what God obeys, that life is but a dream. We will coast through life. God will take care of all the problems. God will remove all the obstacles and life will become easy. Most of you know that is not true. That even as believers, we face trials and tribulations on a daily basis. I cannot find in God's word any mention, any such scripture that tells us that, and I can certainly tell you none has occurred in my life experience. We have problems. Jesus died on the cross. Many of his followers were martyred. Most of the New Old Testament prophets were killed, and even Daniel went from the frying pan into the fire. He obeyed God, yet once again, here he was, through no fault of his own, facing death. Our text teaches us that the king's wise men failed to tell him his dream and to interpret his dream, impossible as it was, and because of that, he ordered them killed. Think of that. Not only did he want them to interpret the dream, but he wanted them to tell him the dream and then interpret it. And they kept trying to tell him that not a man on earth, that no astrologer, no enchanter, no sorcerer, no diviner could do that. And no king before him had ever asked them to do that. But yet, his anger caused him to issue the decree to kill all of the wise men in Babylon, including Daniel and his friends. Next, let's look at verses 14 through 16. When Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon, Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. He asked the king's officer, "Why did the king issue such a harsh decree?" Arioch then explained the matter to Daniel. At this, Daniel went into the king and asked for time so that he might interpret the dream for him. Daniel dealt with the situation in a godly manner. He did not become angry. He did not overreact. He took specific steps to resolve the situation. First, he asked questions of someone who had knowledge, who had the information. He talked to Arioch, the king's commanding officer, and found out what the deal was, what was the issues involved. And then secondly, he went in and asked the king for time to interpret the dream. He was so confident of receiving it that he didn't send an emissary. He didn't send Arioch. He went himself and asked for time. And he was so confident of not only receiving time from the king, but also receiving an answer that he needed from the Lord. Too often, our reaction is the worst reaction. How many times do we, or do you, I know I do, how many times do you act out of self-pity? Daniel could certainly have done this. He was being unfairly blamed and had not been given the opportunity to defend himself. He had every right, if you will, to act in such a manner. Instead of reacting with anger, Daniel reacted, or rather acted, in a methodical and calm and godly manner. And we need to cultivate such a calm approach to problems like Daniel. And it takes time. I do not for one moment believe that right there on the spot, Daniel was suddenly able to deal with these life-threatening emergencies. I believe it was due to a lifetime of dedication to God which enabled him to deal with the current crisis in such a methodical way. Let's look again at our text, verses 17 through 23. Then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, "Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He sets up kings and deposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we ask of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king." After getting the information from Arioch and after asking for time from King Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel then asked God for wisdom in solving the problem. He went to his host. He employed his three friends to petition and pray to God to reveal the vision, the dream to him, so that he and his friends may not be executed. There's a simple truth contained in these few verses revealed in this situation in which Daniel found himself, which is common throughout God's word. There was prayer over panic. Daniel asked his friends for their prayer support. They had been with him from the beginning, a team of prayer warriors that stood behind him and back no matter what. And I ask you, do you have such friends today? And if you do not, you need to be cultivating friends and relationships of trust and caring to be on your prayer team. Daniel spent the evening in prayer and did not panic. Most of us would have been worrying ourselves to death, perhaps even trying to escape, thinking, the king is waiting for me tomorrow. That gives me 10 or 12 hours. I can be long gone. We might have been so upset that we could not concentrate on praying to God. So scared that a knock would come at the door. So scared that the sun would come up any hour and we would not know the answer. But Daniel and his friends went to the Lord in prayer and petition, and as a result, God revealed in a vision to Daniel the answer that Daniel needed. You know, Paul writes in Philippians 4, 6 through 7, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ." Second, when Daniel received the answer to the prayer, he immediately began to praise the Lord. Beginning with verses 19 through 23, he praises God profusely and thanks him. You know, this lesson in chapter 2 of Daniel is so applicable to me, and maybe even applicable to many of you, because Daniel could have easily taken credit for what he knew and what he told the king. He didn't have to tell anybody that God revealed the dream to him in a vision. And as a pastor, sometimes it is so tempting to take credit for things that the Lord does in a church, in a group, in a meeting, and to stick your chest out and receive all the accolades as if you or as if I had done something. And I ask God to forgive me if I do that and when I do that. And Daniel didn't do that. Here's where integrity shone through. Here's where that characteristic, that character trait of integrity showed itself in Daniel. He was honest. He gave God the credit for what he knew. Daniel knew he was, whatever he was a direct result of who God was. And because of his integrity, the king began praising God also. You know, Alex Axelrod, who is an author, tells a story of praise that was found in a most unlikely place, and that was the Tonight Show on television. I guess it's been 20 years or so. Don't hold me to this, Kenny, exactly. But it's been a number of years ago when Oral Hershiser was a pitcher for the Dodgers, and they won the World Series that year. And he, Oral Hershiser, was named the most valuable player of the series. And one of the TV shows documenting the World Series that year had a video of Oral Hershiser in the bottom of the ninth inning of that last game, leaning up against a wall, and his lips were moving. So when he was a guest on the Tonight Show, Johnny Carson, the host, asked him what he had been saying. And Hershiser replied, "I wasn't saying anything." And Johnny Carson continued to question him. And finally Hershiser replied, "I was singing." Well, this kind of took Johnny Carson back, which very few things did. And he said, "Singing? Well, come on, I didn't know you were singing. Let's hear it. Sing for us." And of course, after much cajoling from Johnny Carson and the audience, Oral Hershiser sang, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen." And Johnny Carson was speechless. And the audience was dead silent. And finally, one of the audience members stood up and began applauding. And then everyone stood up and applauded. Singing was Hershiser's way of saying, "Lord, the only reason I'm a most valuable player is because you are a most valuable God. It is only because of you that I have the ability to do what I did. You gave me the ability. You are the reason that I have been so blessed. And I praise you and I respect you and I love you." And that's what Daniel did. He didn't say, "I discerned the dream on my own. You know, I figured it out." He says, "Praise be to the name of God forever and ever." And as a result, let's skip over to verses 46 through 49 and see what the result of Daniel telling the king his dream and interpreting the dream for him. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate before Daniel and paid him honor and ordered that an offering and incense be presented to him. The king said to Daniel, "Surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery." Then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all of its wise men. Moreover, at Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego administrators over the province of Babylon, while Daniel himself remained at the royal court. The result of giving God glory, the result of giving God credit, was Daniel is given more responsibility in the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar. The king's life through Daniel was influenced by God, and Daniel was given this promotion. And because he glorified God and was faithful in life, Daniel was given more. And Matthew 25:23 gives us this kingdom principle of faithfulness. It tells us the result of being faithful. Jesus said in the parable of the talents about this principle, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Are you being faithful to God today? Do you have the integrity to give God the credit when you are successful in your endeavors in life? To glorify Him and not to take the credit yourself. Daniel found God's solution. Daniel obeyed God's solution. He was not like the rich young ruler who hung his head and walked away and didn't follow the answers that were given to him. Daniel found and obeyed God's solution to his problems, and then he gave God the glory when he was successful. My question to you is, do you give God the glory? Do you have the integrity that Daniel had to glorify God when you are successful? We're going to sing our invitation hymn now, and we invite those who have been touched by the Holy Spirit, who have accepted God as their Lord and Savior, and who want to be a member of this church to come forward and offer themselves as candidate for baptism and membership, or if you just want to share the fact that you've accepted the Lord as your Savior, please come as we sing our invitation hymn. That's hymn number 450, "I Need Thee Every Hour."